But some of the Pharisees said, "Why do you do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answering them said, "Have you not even read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for any to eat except the priests alone, and gave it to his companions. And he was saying to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' And it came about on another Sabbath that he entered the synagogue and was teaching. There was a man there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath, in order that they might find reason to accuse him. But he knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Rise and come forward.' And he rose and came forward. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them all, he said to them, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they themselves were filled with rage and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. And it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. He spent the whole night in prayer to God, and when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he descended with them and stood on a level place, and there was a great multitude of his disciples, and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. And all the multitude were trying to touch him, for power is coming from him and healing them all. And turning his gaze on his disciples, he began to say, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and cast insults at you and spurn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for in the same way the fathers used to treat the false prophets. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. Whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And just as you want people to treat you, treat them in the same way. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good. Lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap, for you, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." And he also spoke a parable to them. "A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? And will not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice a log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourselves do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock, and when a flood rose, the torrent burst against the house and could not shake it because he had been well built. But the man who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it and immediately collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." Amen. So Luke chapter 6, Jesus starts off and he begins to talk about the Sabbath, and you know the Pharisees are coming against him. You know, this whole ordeal is happening. You know, just want to touch on one little part of just in this little part of the passage. Have you ever come across people that have said, "You know what? If I see it, I'll believe it"? You know, that if I can witness with my own eyes, and then surely I'll believe. You know, that's not true. You know, that seems like it makes sense, and it seems very logical, but on the most part, that's not really true. You know, and you'll find that through the scriptures, people see all kinds of stuff. I mean, just crazy stuff, and they don't believe, right? Because the issue is not about the eyes. The issue is about the heart, right? It's not something, if I can see it or I experience it, right? There's got to be a regeneration that happens in the heart. And when that happens, right, faith becomes alive in us. And so we see in this passage that Jesus heals this guy. And I mean, this is an astounding miracle. You know, and what is the response from the religious leaders? They're filled with rage. I mean, can you imagine, right? But where does that come from? It comes from their heart, right? And so Luke will spend most of this chapter dealing with issues of the heart, right? And so he leads basically straight into the Beatitudes. And you know, it's amazing. You know, one thing that you cannot fake, listen very carefully. You can fake what you say. Right? You can, you know, you can fake some things that maybe come on the hour. We can fake our facial expressions, right? But you cannot fake the reaction in your heart. You know, if, what's a good example? You know, let's say, I give you a good one, right? I'm just being very real, you know? And so we're looking for a building. We're going through this whole thing. And then in the mail, I get this letter, this really nice big package from the Vine. You know, and they basically got a building, basically, and they're soliciting funds, and beautiful building, big movie theater, fits 700 people. And my first instinct was, crap, you know, what's up with that? You know, how about us kind of thing? And I quickly repented, right? Right, but that's what I'm talking about. You can fake what you say. You can fake how I respond with Matt, you know, like, oh, praise the Lord for the Vine. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? But you can't fake that initial reaction in our hearts, right? It just doesn't happen, you know? And because what's happening, later on he'll say, it's out of the treasury of our heart. You know, it's what's deep in there. And so Jesus has spent a lot of time talking about this, right? You know, he'll say that, you know, it's take your eyes out and all these things. But really talking about, he says, it's the adultery is in the heart. You know, and so this is a manifestation. And so these guys, their heart, it doesn't matter what they saw. You know what I mean? Have you ever been in a place and you've already made up your mind? You know, sure, you went and had discussions and debates and all this, but you already made up your mind, right? And this is kind of the state that the Pharisees are in. Paul will later talk about this and the judgment that he'll give upon people in this state of mind. He says, I've turned them over to Satan, right? And so, I mean, this is serious stuff, you know, that we're dealing with. And so, all right, so let's continue to move on. You know, and then he comes, he chooses the 12. And now this is probably, if you're ever in a leadership position, you know, be it at church or at work or something, this will probably be your greatest challenge, right? It's leadership selection. Okay, it's maybe for you in the business world, it would be the hiring, you know, or who to work with on a team. This is one of the most difficult aspects, personally for me as a pastor. You know, the teaching, and that's easy. You know what I mean? Because it's just me and the Bible and the Holy Spirit. You know, it has nothing to do with anybody else. You know, I can just sit in my office and for hours just dwell through stuff. It's easy. Preaching, all that stuff is easy, right? Praying for people, that's easy. That's Holy Spirit anyway. You know, but it's actually choosing leaders. You know, it's having an eye, because normally what we look at, because we look at outward appearance, right? You know, man looks at outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And we're human. We do that. You know, oh, that person looks mature. You know, that person, you know, has this skill and whatnot. You know, but it's an art, is choosing leaders. And you'll see time and time again when Jesus is about to pick people, right, to choose leaders, right, he spends the night in prayer. You know, and he just coats and baths the selection in prayer. And I just want to suggest to you that as a leadership, you know, as a leader, you know, as a house church leader, or as, you know, a Sunday school teacher, or, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And if you're ever in a position to choose leaders, or in your workplace, in the marketplace, you're in a position to hire people or whatnot, it would be, you know, more advantageous to you to spend more time in prayer than you are in interviews. You know, interviews and all that's very important. Don't get me wrong. But it'd be very advantageous to you to spend a lot of time in prayer and say, God, I don't know. You know, I don't see with my eyes. You know, I'm of the flesh. You know, and you know, remember in the book of Acts, right? This is, I mean, a pointed passage. In the book of Acts, they need to replace Judas, right? And they come and remember the prayer they prayed. It says, God, you know the hearts of all men. Tell us what to do, right? They were at wits with, you know, together in this place because they knew they had to choose someone. And the reason why they prayed that prayer is because they had full confidence in Judas, right? Remember, Judas was not a Galilean. And he was a Judean. In other words, he was a city boy, right? You know, he wasn't from new territories or anything like that. He belonged from the city. He was smart. You know, he was honest, supposedly. You know, he took care of the money, right? You give that to you know, dependable people, right? I mean, you know, Kiwan takes care of our money, right? I mean, so we trust that he is a dependable person. You know, we don't, you know, choose some knucklehead to take care of our money, obviously, and things. And so, and he's the one that betrayed Jesus. And so they finally humbled themselves and said, God, you know the hearts of all men. We don't know. And they're still so afraid to pick that they cast lots. First time in the Bible where they did that, right? And you guys know my commentary. I think they made a huge mistake, right? Because they should have picked Paul later on. But in any case, and so, you know, they continue on in this thing. And so Jesus spends the whole night in prayer, and then he chooses the 12, right? This is a good leadership lesson for us, right? That if you must pick leaders, if you must pick a team, or in church and in the marketplace, pray, and God will speak to you, right? He'll handpick leaders that you would have never even thought. You know, when we were praying over house church and we knew that we're going to do this, you know, and Lisa and I, we would pray together and we really seek the Lord and God, we need some leaders and there would be some people that come up in our minds, you know, and like, what? This guy? Are you kidding me? What? This person? Like, they just started coming to church, you know, and all these things and God just said, trust me, right? And you know, I think we've had great success with our house church leaders, you know. Amen, right? Okay. No? Even the house church leader is not saying amen. It's okay. And so this, you know, so it's important for us to pray. So he picks the 12, and then he ends up and he talks about the Beatitudes. Now, ultimately, this is an issue of the heart again. You know, in and of yourselves, you cannot live this life. Okay? Now, when I read the Beatitudes, yeah, I don't know how you read it, but when I read the Beatitudes, my first initial response is, oh man, I suck. You know, I'm just so far away from, you know, it's not the Beatitudes, it's the Uglitudes or, you know, whatever is happening in my life. And but then the other side of it, after that, after I go through this, I realize, you know what? That's the whole point. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do. It's not about the what I can muster. Right? It has to be the life of the Spirit. It has to be the Holy Spirit living in me, right? The Spirit of Jesus Christ living in me that enables me to live this kind of life. If you only focus on yourself, if you only focus on what you can do, you cannot live this life, right? You cannot live this Beatitudes, you know, forgiving, you know, giving, you know, with no return, loving your enemies. I mean, that is just humanly impossible. You know, I mean, there's got to be grace that comes. You know, and don't get me wrong, this is the kind of life that Jesus wants us to live. But this life can only be lived through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's through the grace of Jesus Christ entering into our hearts and changing and transforming us. Right? That's the only way we live this life. And so he comes and he, I mean, just, there's so much here, you know, and probably this year we're going to spend some time and really break down the Beatitudes. And there's so much of what he's saying. And see that the key to understanding this, right, is that if I give and not expect anything in return, you know what happens? He doesn't reward me. God rewards me. And he says, press down, shaking together, spilling over, right? You know, without, you can never outgive God. You know, and so you have to look at it in terms of God's economy. You're not losing anything. Let's say you lend someone money or you give someone this and, you know, don't expect it back, but you will get it back. Spilling over, running, pressed down. Right? That's what the Bible says. You'll receive from the Lord. You know, and I don't know about you, but in that transaction, I'd rather receive from God than from somebody else. Regardless if it's owed me or I have a right to that thing. You know, and so this is, you know, dealing in God's economy in this. And God just releases and He blesses and he pours out for all, every single one of us. You know, it's interesting that the Beatitudes here, you know, if you actually take the Beatitudes and you cross-reference with Galatians, right, chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit, right, it's the same characteristics. It's the same attitudes of the heart. It's the same things that God wants us to carry, you know, into our lives. And He asks us to really walk in this thing. And then He comes and so he, again, right, because this whole thing is about the heart, He talks about the heart, right? He talks about the eye and the log. And don't get me wrong, this doesn't mean that you're not supposed to judge, okay? Listen very carefully. I think it's very misunderstood in the church. You're human beings. You will judge. The key that what Jesus is talking about is judge righteously, right? Don't judge as a hypocrite. In other words, judging as a hypocrite is that you demand something from someone else that you're not willing to live up to yourself. It would be like me as your pastor saying, everyone, 21-day fast, let's do it, right? And I go to Morton's and have a huge steak. You know what I mean? It's like I'm asking you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. And what the hypocrisy or what that's like is putting a standard on your life that I'm not willing to live up myself. You know, that's hypocrisy. You know, but we can judge righteously. You know, it says in Isaiah about the sign, it says, and you know, he will judge not with his eyes see or ears hear, he'll judge with the spirit of righteousness. You know, and so it's important if Matt is just doing some stupid stuff, you know, like, oh, sorry, I can't judge. I can't, you know. No. I deal with my issues and I help my friend. The Bible says, right, in Galatians, you who are spiritual, help those in need. You know what I mean? And it's dealing with spiritual meaning, mature, right? And you're mature, you go help other people, you know, in the situations that are going on. So it doesn't mean don't judge. You know, take the log out of your own eye. Because he says, first take the log out, and then you can help your brother with the speck. You know, and so, you know, and that's, we'll talk about that another time too. It's amazing. I'm getting so many sermon ideas from doing morning prayer. And then we continue on, and so he's dealing with the heart, right? It's out of the good man, verse 45, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. You know, and time will tell. Time will tell. I'll give you just a freebie, okay? If you're in a dating relationship, don't rush it. Don't rush it. Take time to know the person, because eventually true colors come out. Right, you know, you date for a little bit and stuff, and it's trust me, right? I think my personal suggestion is you should date for at least 1 year, right? You know, obviously in a committed, a very loving, keep your hands and your mouth to yourself, you know, kind of relationship, and I think in the course of a year you'll see what this person is really like, and then you can make a value decision in that way. Obviously, God can say, Matt, tomorrow you're getting married, and that may happen too, right? So. I'm not circumventing anything in that way. So the Lord, you know, He's the Lord. He can do whatever He wants. But I'd say, in you know, since I'm a dad, right? I'll give you father's advice, right? Even though many of you are very close to my age, you know, a year is a pretty good time, right? For a relationship, because it'll come out, right? The evil, there's a treasury, it'll come out. The good, it'll come out, right? We can fake it for so long. You know, then eventually it wears off and we see the true colors. And then the last part, he deals with this idea of obedience. It's, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? You know, Lord, just by simply using that word, is master, right? Which means that you're the servant and the slave. And so an oxymoron would be no Lord, right? No Lord, right? Because it doesn't go together. It's one contradicts the other. And so he's dealing with this idea of obedience, and he basically saying, if you obey, if you're walking in obedience, you're building a firm foundation in your life. All right? So let's close our eyes. There's so much in this chapter here. Let's meditate on some of these things, and especially one aspect is really on this issue of obedience. The question I'll ask you today in our audience online, is there anything today, this day right now, that you are not obeying the Lord in? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. build a firm foundation. Anything in your life right now that you are not obeying the Lord in, and just let Him convict us today and then make it right as Matt leads us in a song of worship. Let's pray for ourselves and pray for our church that we would be obedient, that we would truly build a strong foundation in our lives, that we'd be a people that obey the Lord, that we'd always be, yes, Lord. Whatever you ask us to do, yes, Lord. You know, when you lift your hand in church and say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life, that's what you're saying. You're saying from that day forward, everything will be yes. Let's pray for, as a church as well, that we'd be a church that obeys. no matter what the cost, no matter what He asks us to do, that we would obey, that always be yes, Lord. Right? Because we already say that He's the head of our church. To disobey would just be ridiculous. And so let's pray for yourselves and also for the church to walk in a lifestyle of obedience before God. Our other group focus time, let's pray for all the house churches. We're starting in not this coming week, but next week, the week of the 18th. And let's ask God to just really continue to bless our time. Let's pray for people to really be connected to one another. Pray for all the house church leaders. We're not going to start any new ones this season. We may midway, but in the beginning, we're not going to start anything new. And so just pray for all your house church leaders. Pray for your house church leader. Ask God to just continue to raise them up and just continue to grow them. Pray for the next layer, the new layer of leaders to rise up within your house church as well. Pray for community. Pray for love. Pray for the word of God and worship to flow. Or let's just ask the Lord to really just bless this ministry of ours. And lastly, let's pray for our building, and let's pray for our search, and let's pray for either it's Hillier Building or something else, that God would just open the doors. Pray for the funds, that God would just bless our members, and that they would just be able to give so freely into this thing, and that the Lord would truly be glorified during this whole process, right? We not only want God's will, we want to do it God's ways. And so let's just really pray for a real covering as a church, and especially over the steering committee members as they are in the forefront of this. And first, you lift up Janice today as well. Let's pray. Let's pray our first member. Let's pray for Lauren. Let's ask God to bless her and just really draw near. Let's pray for our sister Jihei, and let's ask God to touch her. Let's pray for our brother Junmin, and let's ask God to bless him this year as well. Lord, we bless you today, God, and Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would be obedient sons and daughters, God, and our obedience, God, would flow out of a heart of gratitude, Lord, not out of any kind of duty, Lord, but truly, God, it's because we want to serve you, God, it's we want to bow down to you, Lord, we want to worship you, Lord, God, we want to be available to you, Lord, not because we have to, God, Lord, let that desire grow in our hearts, Lord, and as it's happening, God, we're building a strong foundation. So we thank you for that, God. Watch over us today and help us to give so much glory to your son, Jesus, and all that we do today. We thank you. We love you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm flying out today. I got to go to my brother-in-law's wedding, but I'll be back very shortly. So I'll see you Tuesday. And I think Sam and Nate will take over the next few days, right? So bless you guys.